Good afternoon. I thank all of you for staying for lunch, those of you who stayed, and for anybody that has just shown up today, thank you for coming. And those of you who are online, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it. And my hope is that this will also bring you joy, but I'm hoping that it will make you think. And if there's anything that you need to change, it might help you, okay? So I'm going to start in the book of Haggai. And just to warn you, I'm going to read the whole thing, okay? And it's only two chapters. It's real short, so it's not that big of a deal. So if you want to turn to the book of Haggai, we're going to start at chapter 1. And we're going to just read through this. I might stop here and there, but just listen to what God told Haggai. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying," so this is what God told Haggai, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts. Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord." So Haggai is given this prophecy, and God wants him to tell the people this stuff. Look, you guys are doing all kinds of stuff. You're busy. You're working, you're taking care of your house, you're making sure the things get done for the family, you're trying to take care of all of your bills, and you got your plans for a vacation next year, you got your plans for your retirement, you're making sure your insurance is paid, all these things are going on, and where are you? What are you doing? What are we doing? And then he says, how's my house? What's my house look like? What have you guys been doing for my house? And then he says, you know, you've been working on your houses, you've been taking care of them, but I'm blowing them down. I'm causing problems on the house. Why do you think that is? You know, you plant your crops, you do all of these things, and I don't let it rain. I blow your crops over. I let the bugs come in. You're working, and you're working hard. When the harvest comes, there's not enough harvest to take care of the bills. Feels like the more you pour money into your pocketbook, the faster it goes out. There's not enough money at the end of the month. There's more month than there is money at the end of the month. And so the people listened to him. They listened to what God told Haggai, and they said, well, let's go and work on the church. Let's go work on God's house. And they did. They made it all nice again. Verse 12, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Thanks for coming. I appreciate it. I'm with you. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. So they did what God asked. They came, they showed up, they worked on God's house. They fixed all of the problems, they fixed the walls, they fixed the roof. You know, everything was back the way it was supposed to be. In the 24th day of the 6th month in the 2nd year of Darius the king, that's when they did all of that stuff. In the 7th month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? Well, probably none of them. I doubt that any of them were alive when it was first built. But I'm sure that their parents told them about it. And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Doesn't look anything like it used to. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt. My spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. What did they covenant with God when they came out of Egypt? Anybody remember? Well, they said, all that the Lord has said we will do. He told them, you're going to become a nation of holy priests. All of you have been called to do my work. All of you, men and women, you're all going to be holy priests. When you go into the promised land, you're going to keep my commandments in all that you do. And you're going to spread my word everywhere you go. And they said, everything that you have commanded us to do, we will do. That's the covenant that they made. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, all that money that you made when you were working and working your fields and selling your crops and your wares and everything, all that gold and silver that you brought in, that's mine. It was my gold, my silver. I made it. and you bring it in and you give me a tenth of it. And you say, okay, we're good. And then you go home. It says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Where is the Lord's house? You all know the answer. You know, where does his spirit dwell? Yeah, right here. Right? How's this doing? I don't want you to tell me out loud. I just want you to think, because this made me think when I read this. What shape is this house in? Does this house keep God's commandments in all things? Does this house set a good example for everyone that I meet every day of the week? What shape is this house in? In the 24th day of the 9th month in the 2nd year of Darius came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, this was the law. If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, if you're bringing in a sacrifice, and you got it in the skirt of your garment, you're carrying it in that to keep it clean and pure, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, yeah, it shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, right here. Since those days were when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press vat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hands. Yet you turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Do you remember what Mark was talking about when he got baptized? How that felt when he received that joy? I remember. And I have felt that again at different times in my life. Why isn't it there all the time? What is wrong? What have I not done? Here's one thing. Verse 19. Is the seed yet in the barn? Okay. Is the seed? What is the seed? Well, it's the seed that the sower planted, right? Yeah, it's the seed. Is it still in the barn? This is what God wants to know. Where's the barn? Well, I'm going to say, here's the barn. Okay? Here's the barn. Is the seed still there? Yeah, I see the seed. You guys have so much seed. It's amazing. I've heard you talk about the seed that you have. the seed that God planted in your hearts. And it is amazing seed. Is it still in the barn? Have you planted it? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth. From this day will I bless you. So from now on, plant the seed, and I will bless you beyond measure. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet. For I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and he has chosen all of us to plant the seed, to do his will, to make sure that this house is taken care of, that this house is clean, that it has touched no unclean thing, that it has touched no dead thing and become corrupted. Well, let's see. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 6. Just going to read verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? My wife tells me that all the time. She's always reminding me, Sean, don't you remember that your body is God's temple? Aren't you supposed to be taking care of it in all that you do? What shape is your temple in, Sean? Well, it's round, okay? And it needs to be slimmed, and I'm working on it. And it needs to be clean inside as well as out. And she reminds me of that too. Why does she do that? Well, because that's her job. She's my wife. She's supposed to remind me. That's what Eve was supposed to do for Adam. Adam, remember, God said, don't touch. Don't touch. Don't eat. So Aunt Halita does her job. She does it very well, and I really do appreciate it because it really does help me get back on track. Okay? So turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Going to start at verse 16. In what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Yeah, just do what he said, and he's going to be right there with you. Revelations chapter 11, starting at verse 1. There was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of the altar, the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. So what's in the temple? Well, there's the two witnesses, right? Yeah. The two witnesses that are going to testify to God as to what's been going on of the people that show up at the temple, what they've been doing in their lives, the two candlesticks, the two olive trees. Are these words written in your heart? Do these words occupy a space in here? For all of you that are here, I'm going to say yes. They do. I've known you a long time. Some of you since you were babies, that would be these people over here. Some of you since I was a baby, that would be, where's David? David, yeah. Okay. And my sister and my mom. But what's going on with everybody else? What is in their hearts? The people that don't tune in, the people that don't listen, the people that aren't here, the people that aren't going to the same kind of buildings that are throughout the world now. What's going on in their hearts? I don't know. But I know what it says in these books, and I know what they need to know is in these books. Turn to the book of Mosiah, chapter 1. Mosiah, chapter 1, starting at verse 79. And now I say unto you, my brethren, that after ye have known and have been taught all these things, if ye should transgress and go contrary to that which hath been spoken, that ye do withdraw yourselves from the Spirit of the Lord, that it may have no place in you to guide you in wisdom's path, or paths, that ye may be blessed, prospered, and preserved, I say unto you that the man that doeth this thing, the same cometh out in open rebellion against God. Therefore he listeth to obey the evil spirit and become an enemy to all righteousness. Therefore the Lord hath no place in him, for he dwelleth not in unholy temples. Okay, so the people that are out there in the world and don't have anything to do with God, those are these people. They have not listened to the word that God has placed in their hearts from the beginning. They listen to the world, and they've become corrupted, and God's Spirit isn't dwelling in them. So what do we need to do for them? We need to help them clean up the temple, right? Yeah. Therefore, if that man repenteth not and remaineth and dieth an enemy to God, the demands of divine justice doth awaken his immortal soul to a lively sense of his own guilt, which doth cause him to shrink from the presence of the Lord and doth fill his breast with guilt and pain and anguish, which is like an unquenchable fire, whose flames ascendeth up forever and ever. And now I say unto you that mercy hath no claim on that man. Therefore, his final doom is to endure a never-ending torment. We don't want that to happen to these people, right? No, we don't. So, what are we going to do for them? I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew 13, I'm going to start at verse 3. Well, let's start at verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some of the seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so the sower was just sowing the seed, right? Everywhere he went, he just sowed the seed. He didn't just go into his garden that he had tilled and fertilized and done all of the stuff and prepared and made the ground just perfect for his garden and planted the seed there. No, he sowed the seed everywhere. It was going everywhere. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. And that is us. You've been given to understand. You have the Spirit of the Holy Ghost in you that gives you understanding of what this is saying. So here he is saying, this is what you get. But for them, he says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. We hear and we understand. We see. And we know what we're looking at. So this is not us. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. That's not you. You've already had that experience of being converted. You have His Spirit in you. They don't, but they really need it. And blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the ground, good ground, is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Now that's you guys. Yeah, you bring forth fruit. I've heard your testimonies. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. And yes, you're the wheat, but you do live among the tares. But don't touch it. And don't let it touch you. Because it can corrupt you. Don't let it in your house. Don't let it in your life. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. You can affect the whole world. You can. But the things that God has given you, you can affect everybody around you. And you do. Even if you don't see it, you still do. Yeah. And people watch you because they know who you are. They know what you proclaim to believe, and they watch you. Ronnie knows. He's experienced it. I've experienced it. People come up to you and they say, You're a Christian, aren't you? Yeah, I could tell. Oh, good or bad? Oh, no, it was good. It was good. You're doing good. I'm like, oh, okay. That's good to hear. Yeah. So, who is sowing the seed? Verse 37, he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. It's Jesus Christ. He was sowing the seed everywhere he went. He wasn't just going to the righteous people. He was going to everybody and sowing the seed. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Besides cleaning up this temple, okay, getting it shipshape. All right. When's the last time you said prayer? Well, right before the service started. Right? Yeah. When we had lunch? Yeah. When service started this morning, we said prayer. When Sunday school started, we said prayer. When you had breakfast this morning, you said prayer. When you woke up and either said prayer in bed or said prayer right after you got out of bed, you said prayer. Yeah. Tonight, when you go home and you get ready to eat your supper, I know you're going to say prayer. When you get ready for bed, I know you're going to say prayer. Because that's what we do. Because that's what he said. When you go to work tomorrow, after you said prayer in the morning for getting up and for breakfast, when you get to work, I know you're going to say prayer because that's what it says to do. Okay? And that's how you're going to get this to stay clean. through your prayers. Get it shipshape so that God's Holy Spirit can dwell there. That's what we do. That's what you do. But they don't understand that. And they need to. They need to know what you know. They really do. And that's part of the other part of the prophecy of Haggai. Take the seed out of the barn and plant it everywhere you go. He will bless us. And when the time comes that Mark was talking about in his sermon, that the whole world is going to be shaken by God and kingdoms are going to tumble and be destroyed, he's going to take care of us. It'll be all right. You're going to have this joy in your heart for the rest of your life if you take care of this. You'll always have it to be with you. I know, because when I take care of this, I have the joy that Mark was talking about. When I don't, it goes away, and I know it when it goes away. I know you do too. We all experience it. But you all know what to do to get that temple back in order. I love you all. God bless you. Have a good day.